Jiminy and the Wolf podcast. Woo!
It was tragic getting started today because I managed to knock over all kinds of stuff.
With coffee on the floor.
Yeah, if this podcast abruptly comes to an end, it's because there's coffee inside of my iPhone. It very well may happen.
So today we are in Madison, Indiana.
Beautiful Madison, Indiana.
Did we do our last podcast from here? Or no?
We did. A few weeks ago you were up.
Yeah, but we did one in between, didn't we? Or didn't we? I guess it doesn't matter.
I think the last one was here.
What did we do last week?
We didn't do one.
Wow.
We missed.
Okay, we're not... We're slacking. Slacking on the job. And Emma's going to make her appearance here in a bit.
Of course.
So... Well, what's new, Jimmy?
The change in the weather, man. This is the best time to be in southern Indiana. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I like fall coming here. Gorgeous.
Yeah, I love.
You can start to see the landscape better in the hills, and you can see the river from many places up on the hilltop. I've always said that it's one of the things that keeps me here is fall in southern Indiana, because it's just gorgeous, man. The colors here right now. It's a lot of work, but...
Yeah, I was not at all familiar with Indiana until I met you, and didn't realize all the rich history and all the musical history in this state. We talked about that last podcast, I think.
We can claim the Jackson 5.
You said that.
Gary, anyway. Indiana. That's still Indiana.
See,
and
I never would have...
of course, Mellencamp.
If I was told to guess that, I never would have...
The Jackson 5 would have been from anywhere but Indiana, right?
Yeah. And West Montgomery.
Yeah, sure.
And when I think of Indiana, I always thought cornfield, corn, big corn belt.
Mm-hmm. Which is kind of what it is. Once you get north of here, it really is flat and corn for about 5 hours.
I used to be in agriculture. Used to run my dad's farm. And as far as top corn producers by state, Indiana's in the top five.
Sure.
For sure. Usually the top two were tied between, or back and forth year to year, between Illinois and Iowa. And then added to that list would be Minnesota and Indiana would be your big four. I can't remember who the fifth one would be added to that list. But definitely a big corn growing area. So we were talking earlier, in my home state, if this could be a subject of conversation, and relates to South Dakota, because I'm from South Dakota, there was a big auction that took place of hi Emma, hi, yes, what do you think? Anyway, she's pawing me. You have to pet me, she says. Please pet me. So there was a South Dakota has very interesting minerals.
Oh, we're just live on my page, aren't we?
Are we?
We're on Jimmy D and the Wolf.
Are we? Did you check it?
Yeah, we're good. I think we're good.
Could you double check it?
I can.
Meanwhile, Emma and I will carry the day. This is the most affectionate dog that exists. There's somebody. Oh, is that you?
We raised her right.
Johnny, are we on Jimmy D and the Wolf, or are we on... We're really, really skilled at technology today.
Especially
not
me.
Not. So...
Hey, I've noticed.
What's that?
We are absolutely
on Jimmy
live
D.
on the right page.
Okay, all right. We just have to double check. All right, so in South Dakota is kind of a great place for fossils, dinosaur fossils. And in fact, there have been a couple of big finds there in western South Dakota. And there was one found by a guy named Sam, and the fossil was named after him, of T-Rex. The most complete fossil of a T-Rex ever found.
Wow.
And it was found in 1989, and they excavated it in the early 1990s. and it's been on display at a private institute in the Black Hills of South Dakota, Hill City Institute, Hill City something something. And they had it on display. And up on the video replay, I'll post a picture of it. I mean, it's a magnificent. It has all the bones, it has everything, it's the entire thing. This is actual from a fossil. So this was an actual creature. And the two brothers, family feud, two brothers. One brother was on the board of directors, and they got in a dispute with the other brother, who was the president, and he got kicked off the board of directors 3 years ago. Apparently there was some sexual abuse accusation by another employee that he defended. It always comes down to sex, doesn't it?
Right, yeah.
And so that was part of the controversy. And he forced that they were going to have to sell their assets so he could get his third. He had a third ownership in it. And so he sued, and a judge ordered that they had to sell this. So they went to... They went and sold it, and it went for $32 million. Record. Absolute blown out of the water. And it's the buyer is anonymous, so they don't know who got it. And paleontologists are incensed, angry, because, first of all, they say it's going to be taken from science. They're afraid that some...
Private collector,
and put it, and it won't be available for scientists. And they also said it's going to create an explosion of people looking for fossils because they think they're worth so much now, and people that don't know how to do research will trample on the when they find something and destroy it because they don't know what they're doing. So they're very very big, very much up in arms. It's a big deal, and so. Just an interesting thing. $32 wow. million dollars for a fossil. But this, there's, you look at the picture of it, this thing is a monstrous. I mean, there's a person standing in the picture, and T-Rex was a monstrous creature.
Sure. You know? Now, wouldn't it, like, don't they have to prove where they found that fossil? And the reason why I ask is I know that that's how the Department of Natural Resources works with native artifacts. My father collected... arrowheads for many, many years, and from the time I was a little boy, he used to make us all walk down on the riverbank to look for arrowheads. And probably, I'm going to estimate 8 years ago, there was a huge seize of properties from a guy in Indiana for all these artifacts that he had, and he was arrested by the FBI through the investigation. It all started from the DNR. And my understanding of the law is that you have to prove that you found artifacts on your own property, that you can't be searching native land or whatever, you know, reservations and things of that nature. So it's a really complex thing.
Well, that's a man-made artifact, right? You know, and it's native history, which we've got a troubled history with native. I mean, we pretty much made treaties with them, the European settlers, the early white Americans, and pretty much abandoned all our treaties and kept pushing them west and took all their land,
yeah,
and put them on reservations. And so there's a sensitive subject, and I guess there's been talk of reparations. And not to get into the politics of that, right or wrong, but there are laws protecting Native American culture, but there's no laws protecting dinosaur culture.
Gotcha, right? Fair enough.
In fact, the article said that the U.S. doesn't have any regulations or laws about trading of fossils, dinosaur fossils or any type of fossils. So it's an area that hasn't been regulated. I mean, there's no dinosaurs to lobby for that, right?
Sure.
T-Rex showed up today at the hearing in
D.C. There aren't any mastodons either, right?
Yeah, right.
Here's the reason why I asked that question. The next room over in our garage is a fossilized mastodon foot.
Wow.
Yeah. That my wife's father, it was her dad or her grandfather found it. And I want to say Wisconsin. It's been out there for years. I kept looking at this rock for many years. I'd go out there and weed eat and mow. And one day I was like, honey, what is it? She's like, that's a mastodon foot. I was like, whoa, really? And it is. It's legit. You can check it out. But I get the impression her dad just didn't really think nothing of it. You know, he found it, just stashed it in the garage.
There's a place in the Black Hills. Black Hills is really rich with fossils and things like that. And it is at mastodons or another creature like a mastodon. There's a place where there must have been a watering hole or something, and there was a bus, or maybe a bunch of them fell in. There's a whole bunch of bones at this one spot, and they turned it into a museum. And I need to look up what that is. But I think it was mastodons that they found. So yeah, Western South Dakota is very interesting and very full of minerals and fossils. I mean, there are two now that have been found there. Big finds.
Wow.
Big finds of fossils. And Sue was the first one, named Sue, and this one is Sam. And yeah, it's an interesting thing. I mean, what do you guys think about fossils? Should they be regulated? Should they just be free market thing?
Yeah, that's an interesting topic. And they're going to get on top of it now, I'm certain, because somebody just made $32 million off of it. They're going to figure it out.
Well, will there be regulations? I mean, we've got plenty of other things more pressing.
They're not going to let many people make that kind of cheese without some kind of regulations being implemented. I mean, I'm sure they're acting on it.
The U.S. government?
Yeah.
Congress?
Sure.
I think they got a lot more pressing things to think about.
Well, they're busy arguing with each other.
I just couldn't see.
Making fun of each other's clothes and things like that. They're doing important stuff, right?
I just can't see that rising to the top of their. I mean, they're trying to, you know, come up with a couple trillion more in stimulus and.
It's crazy.
So I don't know that fossils. There's no who, you know, politicians think about. And being neutral, not going pro or negative, or right or left, but politicians think about their constituency. And dinosaurs, you know, is nobody's constituency.
Yeah,
you know?
But if an individual made $32 million off of something, I'm sure their ears perked up because they got to figure out how to get their cut, no matter what.
Well, there's that, yeah.
You know.
And I wonder who bought it, you know, $32 million. I mean, art, I mean, it's kind of in the category of art, right? I mean, the paintings of some of the masters, the European masters that are dead. You have to die before your art goes up in value.
Once you die, you're made for life.
You know, now record numbers spent for artwork is over 100 million. I think the record is 150 million or something.
Remember
like
the
that.
Thing you showed me of, was it like a banana peel?
Yeah. $120,000.
Stu put a banana peel on the wall.
Duct taped a banana peel to the wall, and that installation sold for $120,000.
Unbelievable.
And so the people that bought it said that they knew that they were going to have to keep replacing the banana and the duct tape, because you keep taking the banana and putting a new banana up there. You know, how long before banana goes? I put bananas in a morning shake, and I buy a grouping of bananas.
Puree. Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Bunch of bananas.
Yeah.
And they go bad in a week.
Sure.
So if it's taped to the wall, it's only every week you're going to have to put a different banana.
Dude, you got 120 Gs for that.
And then the duct tape is not going to last forever. After about four times we've taken the stone, sticking it from the wall, taking a banana, the old rotten banana out, putting the new banana up, eventually you're going to have to replace the duct tape. And so within a month or so, you will have nothing that is original from the $120,000.
And especially
payment.
If you go over 100 miles an hour with that particular piece of art, the duct tape isn't supposed to last. 100 mile an hour tape, man.
Oh, I don't know.
You never heard it called that?
No.
That's what I always heard it referred to as a kid.
I mean, literally, that's blows my mind.
120 grand for a banana peel and a piece.
Yeah, I made a YouTube video about it. What's the value of art? And
so subjective.
Put it on my channel. It's all subjective.
It's the same thing with music.
You know, I remember there was music. Okay, yeah. I mean, okay. Let's talk about music. There is some music concrete, which is really just noise. It's not. It's just cacophony. It's not. You know, it's not. There's no melody to it. It's not pleasing. It's jarring.
Yeah.
I gotta admit. Talk about music. I don't know if you listen to Fiona Apple's latest album.
I heard a couple cuts from it on FPK.
Fetch the bolt cutters. What'd you think?
What I heard was interesting.
Are you being kind? Yeah, I mean, they're saying it's the highest rated album from this year, Metacritic album, 92% positive, which is incredibly high. And I listened to it, and I don't know that I'll ever listen to it again.
Yeah.
It's harsh. It's jarring. I mean, it's not noise. It is melody and harmony, but there isn't much rhyme to it. I mean, you can't tell where the choruses are, really. A lot of repeating of the same phrases. I mean, if your goal is to create an emotion, it definitely creates emotion. I would think you listen to that. I'm a little anxious when I got done listening to that album. Because it's all jarring and...
Yeah, some people love that feeling, man. There's people that love to watch horror movies and ride roller coasters. I'm not one of those people. Some people love to feel that way.
Well, we were just talking about it. My ex-partner, his son, little guy, like 5'4", used to like to go to bars and pick a fight with the biggest, meanest-looking guy and get the crap beat out of him.
And that was his thing?
That was his entertainment. I mean...
Yeah, everybody's got their own...
I guess that's an adrenaline rush right before you get knocked out. You wake up with, you know, broken eye socket.
There might have been more wrong with that guy than just that, man. That's like some borderline S&M stuff right there. Weren't trying to get beat up. It's not hard to do. You know what I mean? Especially nowadays. Everybody's so on edge. I'd say it'd be pretty easy to go out and get punched in the head.
Well, what else you got going on?
Well, music, man. You know.
How you playing every weekend now?
Yeah, pretty much. Getting back into it.
Well, we're going to South Dakota for a gig.
Sure. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, man. Your first time to South Dakota.
Yeah, looking forward to the drive up.
Playing in Badlands in the middle of November.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that. I'm just hoping.
Gigs on the way.
I'm just hoping that it's not negative 5 degrees by the time.
It could be middle of November. Yeah, it could be dead winter, man.
What's gonna happen, man?
Could be dead winter. Bring your warm clothes, buddy.
Could be a treacherous drive if the weather goes foul. I don't know how accurate the woolly worms are, but I've seen a completely black one already this year, so maybe it'll be a bad winter.
You're not really in the camera, buddy.
I'm not.
Maybe you don't want to be.
I like using just my good side.
Yeah, we wrote a song, and I recorded it—a custom song for a client.
Yeah, that came off great, man.
And
I was really pleased with that.
Yeah, sent it to the client, and he said he was going to present it to his wife on her birthday.
What was his response when he heard
it? He said that he had watery eyes as he listened to it. So we definitely. I'm pretty pleased with it. Pretty proud of it.
It's interesting that the questions that we asked.
Yes.
The song almost wrote itself, or as if he wrote it, and then it just took a little bit of song craft to kind of piece it together.
Yeah, so basically it's for his wife,
right?
And it's about how they met, and when they got married, and where they got married, and you know, personal details about that. And so yeah, we got this, you know, we're just getting this started, and you know, if you guys are interested, there'll be a link in the custom song
offer. And by the way, we charge more than $15 for the song.
Put a lot of work into it. I mean, I worked on the recording of that one. You can have either Jimmy or myself sing it, whichever one you prefer. This one, I sang it, and I put a lot of work into it. I was exhausted when I got done because I did all the instruments.
Yeah.
And it's got a lot of tracks to it. I mean, doing it right, yeah. It's got four-part harmony, and that's what we do. We do it upright. We just don't throw it up against the wall.
And we even teach you how to play the song. It's part of the package.
Right. There'll be also part of the package. Jimmy will put together a video of how to play it on guitar if you want to play it for your loved one. So.
And for an additional $20,000, we'll let you borrow the dog. She's great for self-esteem. She will make you feel good about yourself. I promise. Am I lying, Tim?
No, you're not.
It's hard to be in a bad mood around that dog.
No,
right?
You cannot. And Jimmy's been kind enough to let me stay in his house, and if you don't close the bedroom door, in the middle of the night she'll come in and give you a cuddle, wake you up.
Yeah, she's pretty affectionate.
Yeah.
It's so funny, we got a kitten now, and she watches the kitten very concerned constantly. She monitors all the kitten's movements.
Yeah.
She's a little mother hen, aren't you, Emma? Little mother hen. Kill but yeah, the custom song thing, man, it's really exciting. I'm looking forward to going to Badlands. That's exciting. I think we're playing a semi-outdoor show.
Well, it's a barn, I think, she said. Yeah. It was a barn, and they don't have heat on there yet. So if it is cold, it's going to be, you know,
really
playing guitar is going to be interesting.
Or have a salamander directly in front of us trying to play it. A kerosene heater.
So, but playing live, I mean, it's picking back up, right? I mean, you're playing every weekend now.
Yeah, I'm getting back to it, man. It, slowly but surely, I mean, I can only book so much because there's still a lot of musicians that aren't willing to get back into it because of the COVID thing.
Really?
Oh, yeah, man.
You mean you felt like guys to play in your band? You have called guys and said, hey, I want you to play in the band, which is your normal routine. You get a gig, and then if they want a band gig, you call the drummer and the bass player.
Yeah.
And you have had guys say, no, I'm
big
not.
Big time, man. Yeah, I know.
You're kidding me.
Yeah,
wow.
I know a lot of guys that aren't ready to get back into it.
They're afraid they're going to get COVID or what?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're going to think the thought eventually. I mean, if somebody beats you over the head every 2 seconds with a thought for months on end, eventually it's going to set in. And, you know, there's some guys I know that would typically be fearless, that they're just so programmed right now. They're like, oh, I'm not going anywhere, you know.
Well, it's a real thing. I mean yeah, I'm in the middle of the road, but it seems like, and it does affect some people horribly. You know, there was a guy back in South Dakota that got it, and he was on the ventilator. He got off the ventilator, but he lost, I heard, he was still walking around with an oxygen tank.
It's terrible.
You know, and so I think I mentioned that in a previous podcast. So, you know, lingering. Now, my brother-in-law had it, and he thought he tested positive, and he thought that it was lingering on, and he was quarantining in the house. And then after about a week or a week and a half, he had his thermometer checked, and his thermometer was reading high, and he had a normal temperature, and he actually didn't have a fever. He thought
he had COVID.
I call him every day, and I'm like, how you doing? Not every day, but I called him. Oh, I got a low grade fever. And it really was a low grade fever. The thermometer was reading wrong.
I had something like that about 3 weeks ago. As you know, man, the boys always watch Colts together, and I had something similar. I felt really, really bad. I mean, just really bad. And because I've been, like, hit over the head with this whole COVID for about the last 7 months of my life, every 2 seconds I've heard the words COVID-19. So I'm sitting there watching a game, and I'm just kind of achy, you know? I'm like, I got COVID. You know what I'm saying? It's just like something triggered in my subconscious mind because I've just been inundated with it.
About half a dozen times, I think I've had it. I may have had it. I don't know. You get aches and pains.
Anybody's going to think
like
that.
Like, I almost have COVID.
If there's, you know, if there's a voice whispering into your ear constantly.
Yeah, I had my eye. Now, one of the things is pink eye is one of the signs that you have COVID is pink eye. And I had, in the springtime, one of my eyes was like I had something in it. And I'm blinking, you know, constantly, and my eyes watering, and that just feels like there's a piece of sand in my eye.
Yeah.
And I got eye washes, and I'm washing it, and I'd wash eye wash, you know, the thing where you put it against your eyeball and you wash your eye, and I did that like 5-6 times a day. After I would do it, it would feel, because I think there was some medication in that, it would feel better, but it didn't go away completely. After a day or two, that completely disappeared.
Yeah.
I never went to a doctor. So, but for about 24 hours, I was convinced I had COVID, and I was going to get pink eye.
Right. Sure. I was convinced I had it that Sunday, and then I got a thermometer, and the thermometer was broken. It said that my temperature was like 94, so I was like, well, I'm already dead. I've died of COVID earlier this morning. But it was really funny because I'm like, well, it's COVID, you know, I feel really bad, I feel sleepy, I feel dizzy, disoriented. And I start thinking about it, and I'm like, okay, well, I had a gig last night, and I slept 3 hours last night. And I had a gig the night before that, and I slept 4 hours the night before that. I'm like, maybe I'm just tired. And I'm just sitting there, I'm like, well, how much water have I drank? I haven't drank any water. I've had like 9 cups of coffee, no water. So I'm tired and dehydrated.
Yeah.
And I'd already diagnosed myself. I'm like at death's door with the worst possible case of COVID-19 in history.
It wasn't that long ago, or go ahead.
Well, it's just one of those things, man. I mean,
it was just a couple weekends ago. I called you on a Saturday morning, and you said, "Man, I'm kind of beat." And you played a 6-hour gig on a Friday night,
right?
Or was it a Saturday night? I think it was a Friday night.
Yeah, the gig. Well, you know, I did the gig, and then they started tipping and wanted me to do more. And so I just kept going because the tips were great. And then I'm not in playing shape right now, man. You know, I haven't been doing 4-hour gigs constantly. So about killed me. But it's, you know, for anybody getting back into work after the lockdown, none of us are in better shape.
You know, I get out of routine, any routine. I don't care what it is. Going to the gym.
It's like going to church, man. Yeah. You know, you go to church, it takes you a month or two to get into a habit. It takes like a day to break a habit.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, a couple weeks of not doing whatever routine it is, it's hard to get back into it. Or did I really do this that easily?
Sure.
You know, so especially something, I mean, playing a guitar is a physical activity. You're using your hands. Now, you're using small muscles. It's not like you're running a marathon, but you're moving the small muscles in your hands.
Yeah, there's lots of macro stuff going on.
So,
and that's most of it, is just muscle memory, man. I mean, just repetition. Doing it over and 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 over. So it'll be exciting to see how people are approaching it when all this is over, because some guys are going to come out of this just better than ever. Because it's probably all they've done since.
Well, I've been grinding it. I mean, I've been working hard on, you know, writing new music, and we just finished a song last night, right?
Yeah.
Find the Light, I think I'm going to call it.
Yeah, come out of nowhere.
Oh, and
I'd forgotten that we did it, man. And that's good. It's like the thing when you're writing, like if you're forcing yourself to write all the time, which you have to do. I mean, I've read some people say, well, I wait until I get inspired. I don't believe that, dude. Wait until you get inspired. You'll be waiting a long time.
Well, some of the
best.
You
have to make yourself do
it. You have to make yourself do it. And, you know, reading articles about writers, not songwriters, but writers, like novel writers, the best writers force themselves to sit down at the typewriter. A lot of them, the old ones still used to. Sit at the typewriter 9 o'clock on Monday.
You have to.
And go till noon, and then after lunch, sit at it again. Now, if you just sit there and stare at the typewriter, you fulfilled your obligation, but at least you're in working mode.
Yeah. And sure enough, man, it seems like, for me at least, those are the days when you actually get something good. It's the days where the last thing in the world that you want to do is try to write a song. Or the last thing in the world that you want to do is try to pick up a guitar. You know, you get burnt on anything you do, no matter how much you love it or how fun it is. There's days you're not going to want to do it. You play guitar all the time, or you write songs or sing all the time. There's days, man, where I'd rather take a beating than do it. But those are the days, if I force myself to do it, something good comes from it. It seems like, at least.
All right, well, shall we wind her up early today?
Let's wind her up.
All right. Jimmy D and the Wolf Podcast.
Peace, everybody.
We'll see you next time.